So let's begin. It's always hard over the phone, but we'll like we said, we'll try our best. We spoke about on Monday that one of the most dangerous kochos in the world is the koach of safek. And safek, of course, comes in many different forms. We have sveikos sometimes in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have sveikos in ourselves. We have sveikos in Klal Yisrael. And of course, the origin of that suffix, as we pointed out on Monday, really goes back to Gan Eden. If you look in Bereishis Paragimel, in source number 1, Va'nachash haya arum mikol chayas asada asher asa Hashem Elokim, Va'yomer ala isha, and the Nachash said to the isha, Afki amar Elokim lo sochlu mikol etzagam. So Rashi explained in source number 2, what does it mean, Afki amar Elokim? Shema amar lachem. Right, the Nachash, the way that he tried to entice Chava, the way that he tried to lure her in, was using the koach of Safik. That he said to Chava, Shema Amar Lachem, perhaps, is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to you, don't eat from this tree because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to protect his own interests, that he doesn't want you to become godlike? And that Nakuda of Safik that the Nachash was able to implant in Chava's heart, of course led to the whole chait of Eitz Hadas. And as we explained on Monday, Amalek comes and is Yoresh, that Koach of Safek. So therefore, as we explained, whenever B'nai Yisrael starts to get into Safek, it's always in the context of Amalek. Right? In B'Shalach, for example, in source number 3, Vayikrashem Akom Masu Meriva, Al Riv B'nai Yisrael, V'anasosam Es Hashem Limor, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeno Mayin. When Klal Yisrael said again the very tragic question of Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeno Mayin, as we pointed out, of course, immediately after, Vayavo Amalek, V'Yilachem Im Yisrael B'Refidim, that immediately after Klal Yisrael have Sveikos in Amuna, of course Amalek is on the scene. And again, Haba HaTalia, the two are always connected, they always go hand in hand. Perhaps you could even say, like we suggested, that it was Amalek that led to Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Amayin. It's not just that Amalek came as a result of Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Amayin, but it was Dafka Amalek's emergence onto the scene that already, before they even arrived, caused Klal Yisrael to say Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Amayin. So this is what we spoke about on Monday. Again, the origins of Amalek in Gan Eden and the continuation of Amalek in Parshas B'Shalach, where we battle against Amalek. Safek obviously plays a major role in the Purim story as well. And I want to just share with you, just to bring to your attention, a very interesting Mari Makom. I'll leave it for you to develop it, or maybe we'll talk about it another time, another year, another Purim, Yirtzeh Hashem in Yerushalayim. But I want you to just to at least be aware of something that's really, really very interesting. Rav Weinberger actually has a shir on this that he gave many, many years ago. And it's the following. If you look in Rashi and Megillah, in Maseches Megillah and Daf Yud Amud Beis, where the Gemara is beginning to darshan up Megillas Esther, and quotes different Tanaim and Amoraim and how they would begin their drasha on Megillas Esther, so it says one of the Amoraim mentions there Vasamti Kisi Be'elam. He quotes the pasuk Vasamti Kisi Be'elam, and Rashi explains in source number 4 Shushan Abira Haisa Be'elam. That Shushan, what we know as Shushan, was actually in a place called Elam. And he quotes a pasuk in Daniel, B'Shushan Abira, Asher Be'elam HaMedina. That Shushan is connected to Elam. And the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that Elam is, of course, a lashon of Halam, a lashon of concealment. And whenever there's concealment, whenever there's darkness, whenever there's a lack of clarity, of course that's going to increase Safek. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments from now. Where does Safek come from and how do we fight against Safek? But clearly whenever there's Elam, whenever there's Halam and Elam, whenever that concealment is in a person's life, so Mamela, it's going to lead, it's very obvious that it should lead to Safek. That's what Rashi tells us, that historical reality in Maseches Megillah. But if you look at the full Pasuk that Rashi is actually referencing in Sefer Daniel, in source number 5, you see an amazing thing. It says that Shushan Abira was Be'elam HaMedina, and then it says, Ve'era Bechazon Va'ani Hayisi Al Uval Ulai. It says, Daniel describes that he saw himself standing by Uval Ulai. Uval Ulai, the river of Ulai. It's very interesting that the river that was adjacent, that was alongside Shushan Abira, was called Ulai. What does Ulai mean? Ulai means perhaps. Right? Ulai is a lashon of Safek. And therefore the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about, again, the very nature of Shushan Abira being a place that was situated in a place called Elam, alongside a river called Ulai. And again, these are many of the sveikos that are built into the Bria, which allowed the Purim story to unfold in the way that it does, where we face an enemy like Amalek, a Haman, whose whole mahus is Safek, is that Kalach, that negative energy of Safek. It's very interesting that, again, the backdrop to the whole Purim story are places that the very names themselves imply a certain suffix, Ulai and Elam. And again, this is all the koach of Amalek. And there's a lot to discuss there and to uncover. That pasuk in Daniel is definitely a big pasuk to be darshaned up on another occasion. But I want you at least to be aware of that Mare Makom, that again, the whole Purim story is taking place in an area in the world that's rooted in the concept of suffix. Okay, what is it that causes suffix? If Amalek is so much connected to this koach of suffix, again, it goes back to Gan Eden, but what leads to suffix? And like we said, it's elam, it's helam. It's when there's a lack of das. When a person is lacking das, das being attachment, das meaning that I fully understand something, and I've attached myself deeply to it. When a person's knowledge is corrupted, so such a person is obviously subject and will inevitably fall into a place called Safik. The Bnei Yisachar says in Source 6 that what was the nature of Amalek? Hine Amalek hu mimerkava hatameya mishorash hadas desitra achra. Which makes a lot of sense. That if Amalek is all about Safik, and Safik is rooted in confusion, Safik is rooted in a lack of clarity, a lack of attachment to something in a proper way, so therefore Amalek, says the Bnei Yisachar, and he's basing himself off of other Kabbalistic works, Amalek is rooted in the concept of das, which means deep, full understanding, desitra achra, which means negative das, hu amenagid ledas de kedusha. So if regular das, if holy das, if das of kedusha is supposed to cause attachment, das, desitra achra, which is a corrupted form of das, will not create deeper attachment, but will create just the opposite. It'll create pirud, and it'll create shvira. It'll move a person away from proper thinking, and will bring a person to clouded thinking. And when you have that type of das in your mind, when a person allows that the das of the sitra achra enters one's mind, so then even the clearest things in the world can become very cloudy and can become very overturned, right? Very much avinah hapachu, where something which should be so obvious and so true becomes all of a sudden this terrible suffix. I want to share with you the words of the Avnei Nezer. The Shem Yishmuel, in his writings on Parsha Zachor, it was in Tafresh Ayin Test. It was the year that year Vayikra and Zachor fell out together. And the Shem Yishmuel quotes from his father, the Avnei Nezer, a really amazing thing. And it just goes to show you how crooked in the head Amalek in fact is. He starts by quoting a Medrash Psikta. The Medrash describes our relationship to Amalek as opposed to the other nations of the world. It says the Medrash in source number 7 in the Shem Yishmuel, the Medrash Psikta says, Al tiyu kesus kefered ein hovin. A person, right, is being warned by David Melech not to be like a sus, not to be like an animal that lacks das, that lacks understanding. El yibachem bina, says the Medrash. Rather, a person should be one who is able to be maven davar mitoch davar, to have great clarity and deep understanding. Why? Kishetichnesu la'aretz, when Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael v'chulu, what does the pasuk tell us? Lo sisa'iv adomi. Don't start up with the adomi. Why not? Why shouldn't we start up with the adomi? They've given us some trouble through history. Lama ki achichahu. Bein tov ubein ra achichahu. Because Edom, on some level, going back again to Esav, which of course emerges and becomes Amalek, but if we go back to Edom at its shoresh, we have to remind ourselves that Edom was our brother, and therefore Bein Tov Ubein Ra says in the Medrash Achicho, Edom is a brother, and a brother needs to be treated with some respect. V'chein, the pasuk goes on, Lo sisa'ev Mitzri. Don't start off with the Mitzrim. Why? Because we once lived in Mitzrayim. Okay, it wasn't the most enjoyable and pleasant place that we ever lived in our history, right? But okay, there has to be some element of a karas atov to Mitzrayim. But then says the Medrash of Amalek, Zachor is Asher Asal Lecha Amalek. But when it comes to Amalek, don't forget what Amalek tried to do to you. We have Rachmanis on Edom, even though Edom is not so nice. And we have Rachmanis on Mitzrayim, and we're respectful, and we don't start up with them too much, simply because we spent time in Mitzrayim long ago. But Amalek, what Amalek did to us is something we can never forget. Explains the Shem Yishmuel. What's the pshat in this medrash? Bir advar ki adua b'svar makadoshim shamalek hu das de klipa umavatal es das de kedusha hamavda bein davar ledavar. Amalek, as we saw from Bnei Yisachar, is negative das, and it comes to be mavatal holy das, which gives us the ability to understand things, what's right and what's wrong in this world. Ke'inian, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, b'da'ato tahomos nivko v'zeshaba amalek kodem matan Torah shekavanaso haisa lahafriyas hadas shel Torah mehispashet ba'aretz. And now he quotes from his father. He says, what was it that Amalek was trying to do? By trying to stop us from making it to Kabbalah Satorah, they wanted to stop that clarity that comes from a person who understands Torah from taking over the world. Right? The Navi says that when Mashiach comes, Umallah haaretz deya es Hashem, that the world is going to be filled with an absolute clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amalek understood that Torah coming to the world is the first step to the world becoming a place of clear thinking, of das de kedusha. So he quotes from his father, the Avnei Nezer, Vinei, quote, kedushas avi ad mor zatzal, would explain as follows. Just to show you, again, I'm bringing this Shem Bishmul, not only to show you that there's this inyan of das that's revealed at Kabbalah Torah, but just look how far Amalek was willing to go to try to stop that das. Ki omale nitzchu as Amalek mikodem. Had Klal Yisrael not battled and defeated Amalek prior to Kabbalah Satorah, lo haya efshar lios matan Torah. There could not be matan Torah. As long as Amalek still has power, and Amalek wasn't completely eradicated when we battled them before matan Torah, but as long as Amalek is on the rise, and Amalek doesn't see itself as batel to Klal Yisrael, there can't be Kabbalah Satorah. Why? Look what he writes where it's underlined. Sheklipas Amalek haisa matila sofik, that the very nature of Amalek is to present sveikos, upagam af b'makum sheniris his galus elokis, and to create damage even in the place of the greatest clarity of godliness. There has never been in history a clearer moment of revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than there was by Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai. And yet, Amalek comes to such a place, ubevadei ha'emotzei bir ala kolos va'abrakim va'akol shofar ve'etzem adibros latarets es hakol. It's an amazing lesson from the Avnei Nezer. He says, what would have happened if Amalek was still around by Kabbalah Satorah? Amalek would have come and they would have answered off everything that happened. They would have explained rationally and logically the kolos and the brakim and the kol shofar, and they would have explained where the Aseret HaDibros are really coming from, and they would have done everything in their most backwards, crooked, v'nahafachu type of way to uproot the entire Kabbalah Satorah experience. The Atta Haris L'Das of Kabbalah Satorah would have been overturned by the cynicism and the negativity of Amalek. Ki ein keitz l'shkarav v'yitato. Says the Avnei Nezer, because there is no end to how far Amalek will go to plant a suffix in the most obvious and true things of all. And they'll challenge everything. And they'll mislead in every possible way. Aval kishenitzchu as Amalek, af shenishar mimenu l'doros. When we defeated Amalek as a prerequisite to Kabbalah Satorah, even though, says the Avnei Nezer, and says the Shem Yishmuel, that there was a remnant of Amalek that continued l'doros, mikomakum hu begeder hakvo, we at least tied the hands of Amalek a little bit. They're more limited in their negativity. And then if a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the world, so then Amalek is restrained enough that they can't question that reality. But again, just look how far Amalek is able to go with the Koach of Safik. Look how much damage they can cause to the world. Whether it was the Misa that was brought to the world through the Nachash, through Chir Eitz Hadas, whether it was through Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Amayin by Parshas B'Shalach, or even the threat, merely the threat that Kabbalah Satorah faced in the face of a strong and powerful Amalek. So obviously, based on what we've seen so far, we shouldn't at all be surprised that if you look in Sifrei Chassidus, you look in the Svarim HaKadoshim, all of the Svarim tell us that Amalek is Begematria Safik, 240. Why is that so? Because this is the very muhus of Amalek. The very nature of Amalek is to create Safik in every scenario and to cause a Jew to stumble through those Sveikos. In Pirkei Avos, we're told, Rabbi Gamliel tells us, Asei lecha rav, a person should appoint for himself a Rebbe, v'yistalek min asafik, and he should detach himself from any type of doubt. V'al tar belaser umados, and a person shouldn't take meiser by estimating. You should take meiser in a very precise way. What does it mean, histalek min asafik, and how does Asei lecha rav connect to that? So if you look in the Kamarna Rebbe's writings on Pirkei Avos in the Notzer Chesed, in source number 9, he says very beautifully, Asei lecha rav, le'inyan yira v'chasidus. A person needs to have a Rebbe, not only to ask psak halacha, as I'll say explicitly in a second, but a person needs a Rebbe in yira, to help him develop his yiras shemayim, in chasidus, however one wants to understand that word, af shelo tekavu menu horas iser v'heter. Even though he's not necessarily going to turn to that Rebbe for psak halacha, but still, asei lecha rav. Asei lecha is a tzaddik v'kadosh l'rav. You should have a person who you look up to as a Rebbe in Yiran Chasidus. It might be a Chasidus Rebbe who you're never going to ask a single psak halacha of, but you feel an attachment to that tzaddik, and you feel drawn to the kedusha that he represents. And your kesher to him does what? Says the Kamarna, says the Rebbe of Kamarna, histalik al yedei zeh min hasafek. When a person is attached to a tzaddik, who is the embodiment of das de kedusha, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, represents that concept of das de kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu is our greatest Rebbe, our greatest leader. So when a person is attached to any tzaddik or to any rav, to someone who can guide him in yiras Hashem, and in Avodas Hashem, and in Inyani Chasidus, even if he's not his posek per se, through that, his talik al yedei zemen asafik. Klipas amalik sha'ol asafik. And the commander Rebbe brings this well-known gematria, that amalik is begematria asafik, umaora kushios uminus. And amalik comes to always raise questions, and to implant heretical ideas in our minds. Ukesh tekasher atzmacha letzadik emes, tis talik min asafik. And when a person attaches himself to a true tzadik, so automatically that kesher to that tzadik will help to remove him from the suffix of Amalek. V'tiska, and look at these lashonos here, v'havadai shemo shara chamishim. And through that, a person goes from the realm of suffix to a certain vadai. We're going to come back to this concept of havadai shemo kainti laso, which is something that we recite in the Yom Noram. But a person elevates himself above the sveikos and the kushios and the heretical notions of Amalek, and he enters into a holy place that is untouchable. When a person has a Rebbe, the Mishnah is saying a person has a certain clarity. And I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent here, but again, I want to just mention that Rav Huttner, in the Pachar Yitzchak, in Purim, in Inyan Yud Ches, raises the following question. He says, if you look, it's interesting. Chazal identify as the source for a teacher respecting a Talmud, that a Rebbe has an obligation to respect the Talmud, just like a Talmud has an obligation to respect the Rebbe. The source for that, Chazal identify in connection to Melchemes Amalek. So Rav Huttner asks, in Pachar Yitzchak Yud Ches, Simon Yud Ches, Inyan Yud Ches, he says, why is it that Amalek is the place where we identify the kesher, that deep respect and love that a Rebbe and a Talmud have for one another? So Rav Huttner explains that, first starts off, he says, Avram was told about Golas and Geula, and there's going to be a series of events throughout Jewish history, the ups and downs of Jewish history, but the goal is to maintain a kesher through those ups and through those downs. The strength of Klal Yisrael is in the Mesorah, and the Mesorah is transmitted from parent to child, or maybe even more so, from Rebbe to Talmud. And therefore, when the Psukim say in Beshalach that Amalek comes to fight, that it's a Mechama LaHashem B'Amalek Midor Dor, from every generation, from one generation to the next generation, Rav Huttner says that Amalek is trying to break that Kesher Shel Kayama of Jewish history. That Amalek wants to snap the chain that holds together the different Doros. That there should be a Mechama LaHashem B'Amalek Midor Dor. It's that glue of affection between the Rebbe and the Talmud that allows the Torah to be so strong. So therefore, it's not at all by chance, says Rav Huttner, that the source that a Rebbe has to respect his Talmud is dafka in connection to the battle against the Malik. And that it helps us to understand this Mishnah even better. Aseh lecha Rav, v'histalik min hasafik. That when one has a kesher with his Rebbe, when there's a deep bond between Rebbe and Talmud, so a person automatically has a koach to overpower Amalek. It shows that we're able to overpower that challenge to door to door. Mechama LaHashem B'Amalek mi door to door. When we have that strong bond between Rebbe and Talmud, Amalek is not able to enter into the Mesorah and to question our lineage and our history. And I was thinking just last night, I think that's the pshat. Why is it that Yehoshua, Dafka, is the one who is assigned to go and fight against Amalek? I think the answer is pashut, based on this Rav Huttner, based really on this Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, and what the Kamarna Rebbe is telling us. And that is because who would we say in history, right, was the ultimate Talmud? Who more than anyone was able to be mekabel from his Rebbe in the deepest of ways? It was Yeshua. It was Yeshua who was lo yamush mitocha awal, who always sat by Moshe Rabbeinu's side, and he made sure that there would be no gap whatsoever between the Rebbe and the Talmud. So therefore it makes a lot of sense that it's Dafka Yehoshua who's the one who's assigned to fight against the Malik, because Yeshua is the fulfillment of Aseh lecha Rav umistalik min hasafek, to battle against Amalek. I think this also explains why Dafka, in the context of Purim, and this was something I thought of last year, that Dafka, in the context of Purim, we find this idea that the walled cities are defined from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, as the Gemara tells us in Megillah, because again, it's Yehoshua's ability to attach himself to our ultimate Rebbe of Moshe Rabbeinu that gives us the strength to battle against Amalek. And I'll just add a remez, the Kodesh Baruch Hu helped me to figure out last night, and that is that Yehoshua is Gematria 391. And if you spell out Suffolk in Miloy, If you spell out the letters Samach, Samach being Samach Memchaf, 120, Pei being Pei Hei, 85, Kuf being Kuf Vav Pei, 186, it's also Gematria 391, which is Gematria Yoshua. Because the ability to destroy Safik with all of its, like Bamila means with all of its dimensions, is Dafka something that we entrust Yoshua, the great Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, the person who was the greatest Talmud, who fulfilled in the deepest way, Aseilacha Rav, Vistalik Min HaSafik. Let's look at the words of the Kazan Sermagen. In Avodas Yisrael, and I know Weinberger shared this earlier this week. I don't know, maybe he shared it with the Chavre yesterday when I wasn't there. But the Kazan Sermagen in the Avodas Yisrael explains this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What does it mean, Hestalik Min HaSafik? What does it mean, Hestalik Min HaSafik? And again, how is it Aseilacha Rav that allows a person to defeat this Safik Begamatria Amalik? Says the Avodas Yisrael in source number 10, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Asei lecha rav istalik min asafik. Asei lecha rav ratzalomar kishalomim espalil tasa lecha rav hu abori isbarach. When a person davens, or when a person learns, or when a person does anything in avodas Hashem, he should remind himself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his Rebbe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real. Shetitzayir b'machshavascha shabori isbarach hu lenegdecha u'melameitcha lahoil. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting with you, and Hashem is davening with you. He's part of the minyan. Hashem is learning with you. He's your chavrusa, and through that. Is dalik min asafik rata lomar shelo yelo yehelacha zos lesafik etzlecha. We have to work, and it's very, he says, very pashut here, but it's a very strong thing to work on, not just an idea, not just an abstract idea, something to think about in the Avodas Hashem, to work in a very, very real and deep way to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute. Not that Hashem should kind of be an idea that remains on some level, even in a deep way, but it remains in some way a suffix in my heart. To believe, not just that maybe Hashem is sitting with me as I'm learning Torah right now, but I have to picture myself sitting at my dining room table in my empty house. I have to picture myself that it's not an empty house, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting right alongside me, and is helping me to share these words with you. Ki hu la'eila mikol almin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all worlds, v'techos kol almin, and beneath all worlds, u'vegav kol almin, and Hashem fills all worlds, v'les asar panoi minei klal, and there's no place that is devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person has to feel that Hashem's presence is very, very real in his life. Ki zehu ikra avodas habori yisbarach letzayir tamid be'emes uvetamim mitzias habori yisbarach b'li shum safek klal. A person has to asei lecha rav, to believe in the deepest way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and Hashem is interested in him. And through that, through having such an attitude of vadai towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will help him to remove that suffik, istalik min suffik, like the Mishnah says. Ukamoshu omed bifnei chavero ki vadai kenhu. The same way that when I'm sitting here with another person of flesh and blood, I believe 100% that he is. I can touch him, I can see him, I can hear him. So too, even though I can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can't touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can't hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way that I hear my friend, but I have to believe wholeheartedly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate in Metzias. He's the most real thing that exists. V'zeh ha'vadai shemo kenti lasa. And now we understand what the Kamar Nereba was Merames to, but the Kazan Sermagen says even more clear. In the Musaf of Yom Norah, in the Piyur of Echol Ma'aminim, excuse me, we say Havadai Shemo Kein Tehilaso. What does it mean? Ratzal Lomar Sheikra Havodah V'Atvila Toloi B'Vadai Shemo. That the success of a person's avoda, befrat through davening, is with Vadai Shemo. The more real Hashem is, Kein Tehilaso, the more my tefila is going to be poel. She Yitzayir Tamid B'Vadai Shehashem Yizbarach LeNeged Eina V'Roa B'Maisav Ukevi Goda Amuna B'Zos Kein Tehilaso. And the more, and Hashem will check. Hashem is bochein levavos. I think that's part of that same piyur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu checks our hearts to see, how much do you really believe in me? Of course, deep down inside, we all believe in him. V'chol ma'aminim. That's exactly the nature of the piyur. But havadei shemo, the more real HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us, kein tilasa. U'kemoshem etzinu b'David Melech olav shalom. David Melech told us in Divrei Hayamim, v'yivarech David es Hashem. That David blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that v'yivarech, bracha, is also a lashon of attachment. When two things come together, that's why the Maharal explains that Beis is 2, and Resh is 200, and Chaf is 20. It's separate things bonding together. Milashon Brecha, right? Lahavriach means to graft something, like we find in Mishnayos in Seder Zerayim. to attach something to something else. So David's attachment to Hashem was so real and so absolute that the Svarim point out that Vayivarech David as Hashem is Rashi Tevos Vaday. Because in David's world, HaVaday Shemo. And that's why David was always talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we saw in Sichas Aran, that he wrote all of Tehillim in conversations, real conversations, that David HaMelech had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shebetchila hayim etzara lefanav shebevaday metziyas HaBarius Baruch Hu b'lishum safek. Because David began by convincing himself and working to attain in a deep way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute and there's no doubt about it. Ukamosha Moshe Rabbeinu Allah b'shem zel rakia. Moshe used this shame, Vav Dalit Aleph Yod Vadai, which is a shame of Hashem, as we'll see. He used it to elevate himself to the highest places, to the place where one could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the greatest clarity. Shai Mitzayir Tamin Lefan of Zos V'Allah B'maylas Adrum HaRakia. That Moshe Rabbeinu's clarity in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Das de Kedusha, connected the Das de Sitra Achra of Amalek, is embodied by this word, Vadai. Where do we see that this word, Vav, Dalet, Aleph, and Yud, is in fact the name of Hashem? So if you look in the Arizal's Shar Kavanos, in source number 11, in the Drusha Yom Kippurim, the Arizal points this out. He says, that Vadai hu Shem HaMeforash, that this shame, and again, I'm pronouncing it because it's a word as well, right? But Vav, Dalet, Aleph, and Yud, is a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does one come to this name? So the Arizal explains, Yud Hei b'milua. If you spell out the letters Yud and Hei, it produces the letters Havadai. And that's what it means when we say again, Havadai Shemo, that Vadai is his name. Havadai is his name. Kein Tilaso. Uva'os Hashem Ola Moshe Lamaro, says the Arizal, this is where the Avodas Yisrael got it from, that Moshe Rabbeinu used this name to elevate himself. V'chein Vadai hu b'gematria Eke. Vadai is also gematria 21, which is of course Hashem Hashem. Od Yirtza ki Vadai hu Shem Kadosh Hayotze Brashi Tevos Vayivarech David Es Hashem. So again, all of these sources are indicating to us, all of the Svarim HaKadoshim in Chassidus and in Kabbalah are telling us that to the degree that a person increases the Vadai in his life, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is served and is believed in with a sense of Vados, the greater and more easy it'll be to remove the Amalek from our life and from our world. That's the avoda of Avadai Shmo, Kein Tilaso. Now, the truth is, Amalek is the one who is the greatest embodiment of this, but really anytime there's Galus, and anytime there's Olam Haza, Olam again, Milashon Helam, Shushan Abiro was in a place called Elam. So the very nature of Olam Haza is that it's a world of concealment, and while Amalek, again, is the greatest, the one who yarshined the biggest portion, so to speak, of Safek, but it was something that existed throughout all of Galus. And that's why we find, if you go back to Galus Mitzrayim, which B'nai Yisachar and many others describe as the root of all Galus, it doesn't surprise us at all, and again, I'm just pointing this out, we're not going to focus on this so much, but I want you just to realize that whenever a Jew is in a state of Galus, he immediately descends into this realm of Safek, and he starts to slip away from Vadai, and that's something that's true throughout history. Chazal say in the Medrash that every Galus is called Mitzrayim. That's really part of the proof that B'nai Yisachar brings, that Mitzrayim is the root of all Galus, and every Galus is called after the name Mitzrayim. It's called by the name Mitzrayim. So if we look back in Galus Mitzrayim, in source number 12, the Svarim HaKadoshim explains, a new king comes to power in Mitzrayim. This is the very beginning of Sefer Shemos. And he turns to his people in Pasuk Tes. And what does he say? I'm very nervous about B'nai Yisrael. Pasuk Yud, Havan is chak malo. Let's act wisely with B'nai Yisrael. Pen yir bet. Pen yir bet, Pasuk Pshat, lest they become too big. That the Jews will join those who oppose us and will come to fight us and try to escape. But the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that power was suggesting an Eitzah. How do you fight against Klal Yisrael? What's the best way to destroy Klal Yisrael? Pen your bet, like it's bolded on the page in front of you. What does it mean, pen your bet? Again, Pashup Shah means lest they become too big. But pen, lest, is a Lashon of Ulai, is a Lashon of Safek. So says power to his nation, pen your bet. Let's increase the pen. Let's increase the Safek. Let's be Ma'orek Sveikos amongst Klal Yisrael. And the more we can implant the Safek in the heart, the easier it'll be to destroy them. How does Klal Yisrael respond? So the Svarim HaKadoshim explained, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vakasher Ya'anu Oso. The more they tried to destroy us, the more they tried to challenge us, to rip us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did we do to respond? Kain yirbeh, v'chein yifrotz. We increased the kain. Kain is a lashon of what? Of vadai, of absolute. Kain yirbeh. We responded by increasing the kain. V'chein yifrotz. And we caused kain to be expanded, to be increased. We increased the vadai shemo kain tilaso. But again, what we see by Mitzrayim is really the root of this idea as well, of Amalek. That they're trying to increase in every way, shape, and form the sveikos that we find in our lives. What makes Safek so dangerous? And how dangerous is it in fact? So if you look in the Sfarim, many Sfarim point to a pasuk in Sefer Malachim, the famous showdown between Eliyahu and the Nevi Baal on Har Carmel. And in the heat of that controversy, when Eliyahu is trying to navigate between those who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and those who question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eliyahu Navi says something that's very strange, extremely strange, but it helps us to show just how deeply Chazal, and again, going back to Eliyahu himself, how Eliyahu Navi deeply recognized the negative impact of Sfeikos. How do we see that in his words? What does he say? Eliyahu is standing there, and he cries out to the people, where it's bolded in source 13. Vayomer ad masai atem poschim al shtei ha-se'ifim. He says, many of you are trapped between two worlds. You're living in two worlds. How long are you going to straddle the fence? If Hashem ha-elokim l'chu achrav. If Hashem is the true God, if you really believe in Hashem, if avadei shemo, then kein tilaso. So believe in Hashem wholeheartedly. V'em ha-baal. And if you really believe in Baal, if you think that Baal is the way to go, so then l'chu achrav. So then follow after Baal. Be wholehearted in your service of Avodah Zarah. V'lo anu ha'am oso davar. And the people were not sure exactly what to respond. And it's understandable they didn't know what to respond. Why would Eliyahu HaNavi be suggesting to them that they should pursue Baal? Meaning, wouldn't it be better for them to stay somewhere in the middle, a little bit with Hashem, and a little bit with Baal, a little bit of Kedusha, and a little bit of Avodah Zarah? Isn't that better than going all out for Baal? And the Sfarim explained, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings this in the Sichos Musar, in Parshas Vayetze, in Source 14. The same vart was shared by Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, in the biography that Feldheim put out. He brings the same vart in describing the dangers of a person who's trying to be in both yeshiva and college at the same time. There are certainly challenges that present itself, trying to straddle two worlds at once, although it's often very necessary. But the Sichos Musar of Chaim Shmulevitz says, what was Eliyahu saying? To be in a world where Or and Choshech are Mishtamshim Be'Avuvya, where light and dark are a part of one's life, at the same time, Geruah Hi Yoser Mehalicha Achrabal Legamri. Eliyahu HaNavi was saying that Safek is so dangerous, it's so the antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of who He is, Havadei Shemo Kinti Lasso, that Eliyahu said to them, it's almost better that you worship Avodah Zarah wholeheartedly. In some ways, being passionate for Avodah Zarah is better than the more dangerous position of being stuck in Safek. Because at least if you're committed to something wholeheartedly, so eventually, halavai, in the right time, you'll be able to channel in the right way. But a person who gets caught in that world of pen your bet, of Safek, a person who's living in that world of confusion, of af ki amar elokim, like the Nachash said to Chava, that person has no hope. And it's guaranteed to cause a lot of damage to that person and anyone who has any shaychus to that person. Safek is the most dangerous position of all. And that's why the Torah describes when a person does a certain crime, a person's chayiv to bring karbanos. Often we find by karbanos something very interesting. That when a person did a crime, bivados, his penalty is going to be less severe than the person who maybe committed a crime, maybe committed an isser. The Torah says in Source 15, in Vayikra Parakei, im nefesh ki techta, v'asa achas mikol mitzos Hashem, asher lo se asenef, a person does a certain avera, v'lo yada v'ashem v'nasa avono. Explains the Kotzker Rebbe. Be'asham taloi shabala safek mivim ayil. Shu yoser yakar mikarban shal asham vadai. Says the Kotzker Rebbe in the Amud HaEmes in Source 16, when a person maybe did an avera and is maybe chayiv for a karban asham, what we call an asham taloi, so he has to bring an ayal, which is a more expensive karban than a person who vadai did an avera. Why should the person who has a safek avera have to be penalized more than the person who vadai went against the Torah? Explains the Kotzker so beautifully. Because when a person is living in a world of vadai, even if it's a world of vadai iser, but at least that awareness, that clarity, is worth something. And that itself is half the tshuva. But a person who's not even sure if he did the avera, if he's living in that world of Ashim Talui, if he's in that world of Safik, Tzarek tshuva yoser gedola. Because he's so caught in the middle, he needs a greater tshuva. Because Safik is the most dangerous position. That's exactly what Eliyahu was saying to them on Har Carmel. If you're going to choose Hashem, then choose Hashem with vados. If not, you're better off choosing Baal. You're better off choosing mentioned the avodah zara, the vados, than allowing your life to be stuck in suffix. And if you think this is just a nice Hasidish idea that the Kotzker Rebbe came up with back in his day, it's not true. Already in the writings of the Rishonim, this idea of the Kotzker exists. Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos, at the very beginning of the Masechta, Dav Aleph and Beis on Tebeis and Aleph and the Dape Arif, says very, very similar to what we just saw in the Kotzker, in Source 16. He says, "Vezeu ikra ha'ira, lizar me'asveikos, v'sholo la'asos ha'mitzvos adar ha'hergol." A person has to be careful to live his life as a Jew with a sense of vaday, to not do things from a position of suffik. She'onesh ha'suffik yosur me'avaday. And he points out, again, something that the Torah points out, which is that the penalty for Safek is more intense than Vaday. What's the Biur HaDvarim? He says exactly like the Kotzker. V'chein matzinu sh'ala Vaday mevichatas, v'atam bezeh, lama ichmira ala Safek yosem en Vaday, omer mori harav. When a person vaday did an iser, he feels a sense of achrayas to do tshuva. V'chozer b'tshuva shlema. Aval ha'safik, oseh svaros v'omer, oseh chaticha shachalti, ulai ha'isimutares. But a person who maybe did an iser, he's not sure, did I eat chaylev, did I eat shuman, did I eat forbidden fats, did I eat permitted fats, because he's in that place called Safek, inevitably Safek is going to push him in the wrong direction. And he's going to be lenient. And he's not going to feel that he did anything wrong, when in fact he may have done something wrong. And therefore, to be ma'or this person, to take to heart the severity of his crime, or potential crime, the Torah imposed a harsher punishment on the person who is in a state of Safek, by an Asham Taloi, even more so than the Asham Vaday. So this is the danger. This is again the danger that exists when it comes to Safek. It's more dangerous than actual negativity itself. So we fight back with Havadai Shemo. Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. And I want to focus on the word Shemo for a second. Because the Ramban in his Akdamah to Chumash says that the Torah from beginning to end is made up of Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Havadai Shemo. Shemo means, his name is Vaday, as the Arizal told us, but it also means that the Torah, which is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Vaday. We have to look at the Torah, and we study the Torah, and everything that the Torah tells us to do, we have to look at it with a sense of Vados, an absolute sense. We saw it earlier in the year, we saw it, right, this man, we saw it in Lundus. We saw it in Rav Shimon Shkaf's Shara Yosher, when he explained the concept of Safek and Sveik Sveika. That Rav Shimon explained, Rav Shimon Shkaf, Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Levracha, explained, that we have to always try to look at the Torah through the perspective and through the from the realm of Vaday, and not to see things as Safek. Even an Isser that we discussed starts in Safek, right? But it moves out of Safek. It moves into the Vaday category of Safek Daraisa L'chumra. That was what Rav Shimon Shkaf explained to us. So that idea is true, certainly true in Lamdus. But again, in Avodas Hashem, on a very practical level, on a very, very practical level, it's also totally true. That we have to look at the Torah with eyes that want to see clarity. That Torah is presenting to us true clarity. The Torah is giving us the moral clarity of how a person should live his life. And everything that we find in the Torah has to be Havadai Shemo. The Torah, which is the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is absolute. There's nothing in the Torah that's subject to change. And even if we don't fully understand how that could be, we have to approach it with a confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah knows exactly what he's talking about. Torah is the only wisdom in the world that operates like that. Any other wisdom is subject to be challenged, to be questioned. Torah is Vaday. It's absolute. Again, not only in the lumdus of Sveik Seika, like Rav Shimon Shkaf told us, but every bit of the Torah has to be understood as being absolute and helping us to move to that sense of Havaday Shemo Kein Tilaso. Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, in his Venichta B'Sefer, in the first volume, says that this is again the thing that sets Torah apart from all other types of wisdom. Ki achachmos hazaros vachitzonios, maitilim sveikos. When a person is osek in all sorts of outer wisdom, non-Torah wisdom, it plants sveikos belev of a malach adam in the heart and in the mind of a person. Asher dvarim yeduim ubrurim hochem etzlo lesveikos ve'i behiros. A person who studies a philosophical work might come out of that discussion with questions whether or not Hashem exists. But Hashem is the most vaday thing in the world, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. So how did that come to be? The answer is that when a person is osik in chachmos chitzonios, as opposed to the chachma, the wisdom of the Torah, he enters that world of Amalek. V'yadua sh'Amalek b'gematria safik. Umuva b'likutim maran, he quotes from Rabbeinu Rabbi Nachman, in Tinyana Yud Tes, sh'Amalek haya filosof. That Amalek, the nature of Amalek, was to be philosophical. Hainu, sh'chachmos ha'filosofia milvad, ma'shehi mechaseres u'ba b'makom ha'kedusha. Harei hipogemes u'machlisha es havadaos ha'natua b'alev yish Yisrael. That when a person enters that philosophical base medrash, He allows that which is vaday, what should be vaday in his heart, all of a sudden becomes suffix. The goremes la'abedas atzelilus va'achozek b'emunas v'atahor v'atzacha. He loses that clarity and that sense of strength in his amuna, which is supposed to be pure and refined. And then he quotes an interesting thing from the Baal Shem Tov. Something that you could practice. I can't say that I do this, or I can't say that I did this prior to preparing this year. Maybe from this point forward, I'll try to incorporate it into my actual life. But the Baal Shem Tov taught, and it's brought in Baal Shem Tov Al-Tara, Shehora Lomar Lifnei Hashena. Now, before a person goes to sleep, one of the things that he should include as part of his Kriya Shema Alamita is he should say the sentence, Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. He should evoke that phrase from the Tfilos of the Yom Noram. Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. When I go into a sleepy state, I want to go about entering into such a place through the expression of Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. Why? Ki Asitra Achra Vashedin Va'alilin Barchem Mivados. Because when a person is saying Shema, and he's letting go of his soul, and he's entering into a realm that could be dangerous, spiritually dangerous, if he declares Vadai before he goes to sleep, he'll chase away any negative energy, any negative spirits that might be trying to attack him and to harm his neshama. Negative energy only attaches itself to places of suffix. But when a person is vadai, all of those negative forces run away from him. Kamo kein, muva b'shmo. It's also brought b'shem the Baal Shem Tov and the Degel Machaneh Ephraim Parshas Re'e. Shavai Varech David Es Hashem, like we've seen already from the Arizal, is Rashi Tevos vadai. V'kol zeh ka'amor. Then when a person says, I am a Vadai type of Jew, the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, runs away from a person. And when David wanted to show Klal Yisrael how real HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, David HaMelech brought the Shechina to that place with a sense of Ados, V'Avados Ha'ira Kol Tzar U'Pina U'Memela HaSitra Achra Histalka V'Ne'alama. And therefore the Sitra Achra ran away in the face of David HaMelech's Vayivarech David Es Hashem Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. I think it's so poshut that in the context of Purim, we can understand it in a deeper way why it is that the Baal Shem Tov told us that one should say Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. Why dafka before a person goes to sleep? Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is explaining it's a dangerous time when a person is sleeping. But befrat, when it comes to battling a malik, dafka on Purim, we know that sleep actually played a very critical role. Yeshno Am Echad. The Pasuk says, Yeshno Am Echad, there is this one nation. And the Gemara in Megillah, in Source 19, explains, on Daf Yud Gimel, Amar Rava, Lekadiyad Delishna Bisha Kahaman. There was no one who spoke Lashon Hara as effectively as Haman. Amar Lehe, Tanach Linhu, he said to Achashverosh, come, let's destroy the Jewish people. Amar Lehe, Achashverosh responded, Mistafina Me'elokav, I'm very scared of the Jewish God. The lowly Ovid be, Kida Ovid Kamai, I'm worried he's going to try to do to me what he did to the Mitzrim and those who came before me. Amar Lehe, Yeshno mina mitzvos. Or as the Lashon of the Marsha says, Yeshena mina mitzvos. You have nothing to worry about. The Jewish people are fast asleep. Haman's claim against Klal Yisrael, Haman, who's the embodiment of a malik, who's that embodiment of Safik, claims that Klal Yisrael is sleeping. And therefore, says Rabbi Nassan in Lekutei Halachos in Source 20, what is the ikar of Voda? What is the ikar of Voda of Purim? He ikar ha-mitzvah shal Purim, kedei la'orer es Yisrael b'chol shana mibachinas shena, is to wake the Jewish people up, to respond to a malik who wants us to fall asleep and fall into a place of Safik, where the person sleeping has a lack of clarity, his mind is not able, he's not sholeit on his guf and on his mind. And therefore, says the Baal Shem Tov, before you go to sleep, make an absolute declaration that right now I am in a sleepy state. And right now I am entering a place called Shena. But you know what? You say to the Sitra Achra, I'm still a Vadai Jew. Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. The more I believe that, the more I look at Torah Bivados, the more simple it'll be to fight against the Yetzer Hara and to fight against the Malik. And Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter tells a beautiful story, and its godless is its depth is really its simplicity. Right there, a page earlier in the Venichta V'Sefer, in Source 21, he quotes from a tzaddik from Yerushalayim. Yehudi Hayi B'Yerushalayim B'Shem Chacham Tzedakah Chutzin. Apparently he's a relative of Yehuda Tzedakah, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Poras Yosef. And he said that this individual, this Chacham Tzedakah Chutzin, was apparently a very holy Jew. He's an Ish Kadosh, Shenag Batznei Aleches Ma'od, who went with great simplicity. So one time someone came to him to ask an Eitzah. Pam ba'i love Yehudi lekabel atzaso be'inyan ha'yisrachos mipnius v'gaiva. Someone came to him and said, I'm struggling with gaiva. I'm struggling with certain nigios, certain pull towards certain things which I know are not good for me. And I want Eitzah. How do I fight against this? How do I remove myself from that world of gaiva and to become a humble Jew, to walk in the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the great leaders of Jewish history. And the second this individual started to ask this question of this great Chacham, this Tzaddik from Yerushalayim, Zok l'avaro l'iskaos, he said back to him, to be about gaiva? You're asking me how a person shouldn't become about gaiva? You mean you're open to the possibility of gaiva? Lizgos aser. Being about gaiva is aser. It's as simple as that. Kach bepshitos ubehiris. Achenafo pachar al nichnasilav. He said it with such vados. He said it with such a simplicity and such a clarity that if the Torah says you can't be about gaiva, there's nothing to talk about. There's no suffix. There's nothing to debate. Asher kvar hayalo pisron al mishal aso. Shalishma ba'ilav. Immediately had the answer to his question. And he didn't need any eitz after that. Because, again, what the Tzaddik was saying to him is that when a Jew faces an issue in life, the way to be matzliach is to just be vadai. To believe that the Torah knows what it's talking about. Havadai shemo. The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the embodiment of the Torah. It's vadai. It's absolute. And you have to sometimes just say it like it is. To turn to that part of you that wants to enter that world of gaiva, which is very much connected to a malik, begamatria ram, to be elevated in a wrong way, in a wrongful way, to take, right, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh, to take gaiva, to use a koach, which is supposed to be godly, and to take it for yourself. How could there be such a thing? Let's go, usser. It's as simple as that. To battle against this suffix of a malik, and any suffix that the Yetzer Hara, which again is the embodiment of a malik inside of ourselves, to battle it with a sense of vaday. To battle it with such an absolute sense of clarity. And this person was so shaken by the response of this tzaddik. He didn't need to give him any eitz. He just said, Havadai shemo kinti laso. To believe bevados, that the Torah says it's usser, then there's nothing to even discuss, there's nothing to negotiate with one's Yetzer Hara. Throughout the Purim story, we see Mordechai's vados. We see Mordechai's confidence as a Jew, which really paved the way to the salvation. It's not just that Mordechai didn't give in to Haman. There was a certain vados that he flaunted in Haman's face. That's why, if you look in Esther, in the third paragraph, when Mordechai is refusing to bow, and many of the Sfarim are curious to understand what was the nature of this, but it says in Source 22, Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachava. Mordechai would not bow, and he would not bend before Haman. And it's Lashon Asin, lo yichra. More than that, if you look in Source 23 in Parakei, when Haman used to walk by Mordechai b'shar ha-melech, the pasuk says, "V'lo kam v'lo zami menu," that Mordechai was not moved at all by Haman. And Mordechai was furious, and Haman became infuriated over the way that Mordechai was unmoved and wasn't machshiv him. The Vilna Gaon writes very clearly that Mordechai did not treat Haman as anything. He thought he was an absolute nobody. But I found just this year in the Rishon Letzion. What's the Rishon Letzion? The Rishon Letzion is the writings of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Nach. If you have a nice set of Or HaChaim HaKadosh, sometimes I have a 2-volume one where it's printed in the back. And he says a beautiful thing in explaining this pasuk. What does it mean? Source 24, Mordechai lo yichra, that Mordechai wouldn't bow. Kasha. Lama kasav lashon asid. Dayetzarech lomar lo karav lo shdachavim. Why doesn't it say that Mordechai didn't bow? And he didn't bend before Haman. Why does it say he won't? We know what Mordechai has done up to this point. How is the Megillah reflecting a future? Lo yichrav, lo yishtachavet. Explains the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Hachinira lomar. Shemordechai alav shalom. Milvad mashalo haya mishtachavet kederach shayu kul mishtachavim laman. Not only did Mordechai not bow in the way that everyone else was bowing to Haman. Elashaya osa hamtsos lo dia. Ki eno chafetz lishtachavos. Mordechai said, bivados. I don't bow to you. I haven't bowed to you. And I never will bow to you. And I'm going to do things to show you in your face, Haman, that I'm never going to crack. I'm never going to bow before you. Vizeh omer lo. Look how the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is presented. It's such a sweet image to go into Purim with. Sometimes Haman would be walking past Mordechai, and Mordechai was in a reclining position. He was lying down. So it looked, you could say, to an outsider, it almost looked, if Haman would walk by, it would look like Mordechai is lying down before Haman. What would Mordechai do? If Haman was coming Mordechai's way, and Mordechai was already in a reclining, in a bowing, some type of prostrated position, what would Mordechai do? Uvavur Haman lefanav, when Haman would pass in front of him, lo ayin nishar shocha, el yosha biyosha. Mordechai would sit up straight. to do everything to counter Haman Tesho Bivados. Even if I just happened to be in that position, I'm not going to allow you to think that in any way, shape, or form I'm bending before you. Mordechai would dafka go out of his way to stand there, to go to the place where others were bowing, and to dafka not bow. And that's what it means, lo yichra v'lo yishtachar. And that's what it means, Mordechai was lo kam v'lo za. He didn't flinch, he didn't move, he was the greatest representation. Mordechai being in many many respects, according to the Svarim HaKadoshim, a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Das de Kedusha. Mordechai was the greatest expression of Havadai Shemo Kein Tilaso. And that's the goal. The goal for a Jew is to live with that clarity. And to be so sure that Vadai will always have the upper hand on Safek. That it will never be that Safek rules over Vadai. And that's a Psak Halacha. That's what the Chazal say in Psachim, in Tesamet Aleph, in Source 25. Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. We can't allow that Safek should be allowed to take something away from Vadai. A Jew lives in that world called Vadai. He doesn't find himself in Shushan Abira, which is in Elam. He doesn't find himself along the river of Ulai. He doesn't allow himself to succumb to the tricks of the Nachash in Gan Eden, or to Chas HaShalom to declare, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am'ayin. Ein Safek motzei midei Vadai. He never allows doubt to prevail against certainty. There's a beautiful story to Rabbi Akiva Eger. There's a volume called Jewish Leaders. And on page 111, it tells a great story. Rabbi Akiva Eger was told by his doctors later in life that he needs to stop learning so much, or God forbid he's going to endanger his health. And Rabbi Akiva Eger responded very similar to the way that Rabbi Akiva himself responded when he was challenged by the Romans. Rabbi Akiva Eger said, if I study Torah, so then I might live a longer life, and you're telling me that I might not. But if I stop studying Torah, if I discontinue my studies of Torah, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, I'm definitely not going to live. Because I can't live without Torah. And therefore, it's Safek and Vadai. And Rabbi Akiva Eger at that time invoked, again, this principle, Psachim Daf Testament Aleph, Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. I can't allow Safek to prevail over Vadai. Vadai, I'm not going to be able to live if I don't have Torah in my life. You're telling me Safek, it'll harm my health. Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. That's how we battled against Amalek. And this is the Vina Hafachu. This is the Zel U'mazeh. When Amalek comes and tries to present a position of Safek, the response, the Mida Keneged Mida, has to be the Zel U'mazeh in the battle against Amalek, is what? Is Vadai. They present Safek, and we respond with Vadai. This is part one of this year. Don't think that the next part of this year is also going to be another 50 minutes. It's only going to be another 10 minutes. But I want to present a second part to how we battle against the Malik. The title of this year was Overcoming and Embracing Our Doubts. Which means that sometimes we have to battle, we have to overcome Safek, we have to challenge Safek with Vadai. But there's also another way that we can fight against the Malik. There's a second weapon that we have when it comes to Melchanas Samalik, and that is Dafka embracing the Safek. What does that mean? We know in Megillas Esther it says Vina Hafachu, right in Source 26. Vina Hafachu. We have to try to overturn whatever it is that Amalek does to us. So again, one way to overturn Safek is to say Vadai. But there's another way to do Vina Hafachu. There's another way to overturn Safek. When Amalek comes and presents a Safek, which is a perversion of Das, which causes a Bilbo Hadas, there's a way to take that Safek and to be Machnis, not to turn it into Vadai, but to be Machnis the Safek into the realm of Kedusha. A holy Safek. To embrace the Safek. How does a person embrace the Safek? So let's just go back to Gan Eden one more time. Okay, we know the Pasuk. Again, in Source 27. Af ki amar Elokim. The Nachash et Chava, Safek, maybe Hashem doesn't want you to be as great as Him. I want to read the words of the Svarno together, where the Svarno presents the whole conversation between the Nachash and Chava. Vayomer ala Nachash, ala Isha, I'm sorry, it's verse 28. Vayomer ala Isha. The Nachash said to the woman, what did he say to her, and how is he trying to manipulate her? Ki sichla hachalush his atzel mizboni. Velo his komeim ala dimyon hakozev. Chava, with her weak character, was not able to analyze the situation fully. And she allowed herself to be tricked. She didn't recognize that this was a kozev, this was a lie. V'tzir oz kocha medama ki amnam af ki amar Elokim. The Nachash used this kalach of af ki amar Elokim to manipulate her. He created a suffix, hamidame, right? Something which was dimyo, something which was not real. She'af al pisha amar Elokim lo sochlu me'etzadas. Even though they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you eat from this tree, you're going to be in big trouble. Pen to musun, again, pen, a lashon of suffix, mikol makom lo yis'amise. But they were supposed to accept that position of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though Hashem used the lashon of pen. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, if the Torah is speaking, it's vadai.
But the Nachash manipulated that. Kishanachash, Vachain Amar, Shekishanachash, Vahu Adimyon, Hiskil Asum Safik Vaza, when the Nachash began to place that Safik before Chava, Hina Isha Besichla Chalish Amra. The Chava, in her weakened state, responded to the Nachash, Mi Priet Sagad Nochal. She says back to the Nachash, Ein Lanu Tzarach Lachnis Pesachalas Achilas Eitz, Shakelis Barach Amar Lanu, Shabachilaso Mimenom Namus. She says back to the Nachash, initially she responds, what do I need to get involved with this for? You're telling me it's a suffix if this tree is going to cause a problem for me? Why do I want to risk that? I have plenty of other trees to eat from. But she still engaged the Nachash in conversation. But the Nachash didn't give up, and now he had Chava's ear, and the suffix that he was presenting to her was starting to take root in her heart. And he started to slander HaKadosh Baruch Hu and present as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing something to block man from becoming God. And it's an empty threat, and don't be afraid. And slowly, of course, Chava came around to that reality of the Nachash, that false reality of the Nachash, that threat of the Nachash. Concludes the Svarno, three lines from the end. Ki yodei Elokim ki b'yom ha'chalcha mimenu v'nifkachu einechem, lo aser oso aprim ibnei chashash misaklal. Don't believe that God's actually going to harm you. Elo ibnei shu yodeya shetasigu ba'achilas tosefes yidia. That God is trying to protect his position from you becoming godlike. It's very amazing, if you look careful here. The Nachash, even if you want to question Hashem, so then say, pen to Musun. Hashem said, maybe you're going to die. And Chava's initial svara makes a lot of sense. Why do I want to get involved in something, even if it's a maybe? But what does the Nachash do? What the Nachash has done is the Nachash presents, and it helps us to understand the nature of a Malik. A Malik presents a suffix as a vadai. Meaning, even though what the Nachash is saying, maybe God is saying, don't eat from the tree because he doesn't want you to be godlike. So what can we say? Well, that maybe has two sides to it. Maybe yes, maybe no. But the Nachash has the ability to present a maybe, a suffix, with a certain vados. And that's the greatest perversion of all. How do we fight back? So we could try to pull things back into our court, like we explained in the first part of this year, to come to a place of true vados, a place of vadai that's true and pure and holy. But there's another way to fight back. The other way to fight back is to look at the suffix that he presented with such clarity and say to him, hold on a second. A suffix has two sides to it. You're telling me, suffix, that Hashem's not going to harm me. But why can't I say back to you with a certain confidence, a suffix of maybe Hashem will harm me. Maybe it will be dangerous. We can use the koach of suffix for good as well. In the Chidushi HaLev, from the late Rosh Yeshiva, from the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva, Rav Alter Chanoch Henoch Leibovich, beautiful svarim, very similar to the Sichos Musar. They're hard svarim to get, but they're called Chidushei Alev. So in Parshas Bereishis, he quotes this svarno, and he says, let's learn from the Nachash to use this technique in a very positive way. Hasvarno mitar lefaneinu as tachbulas hakoach ha-demyoni hu ha-yetzara. We know what the Nachash is trying to do, says the svarno. She'ein darcho liftos v'yad es ha-adam lavor avera mamish. The Nachash doesn't come and say, do an avera. What does he do? El betchila hu matil safik be'erech ha-mitzos ve'amunas ha-adam. Be'malasim l'chash. The Nachash comes and plants a suffix in our commitment to mitzvos. And through that he can begin to enter into a person's heart. The Nachash didn't come and say, eat from the tree right away. What did he do? He created a suffix. If you eat from this tree, maybe God is just trying to keep you away from something, from reaching your potential. But that suffix became a vadai ter. That's the danger of the suffix. How do we use it in Kedusha? It says Rav Henoch Leibowitz, again, Zechasad V'Kadosh Levracha, he writes so beautifully, Ezelu Mazel Selokim. Let's use Amalek's Koach against them. Again, not the first way we learned it, the Vina Hafachu of take suffix and turn it into Vadai. Let's use suffix for Kedusha. How do you do that? Look what he writes. And it's such a true Eitzah. And he was a real Baal Eitzah, Rav Henoch Leibowitz. He understood people's character. It's very, very beautiful, very deep svar. And he writes as follows, where it's bolded. From the very techniques and the strategies that the Eitzah Hara uses against us, we can use suffix against him. He says, for example, let me show you an Eitzah of where you can use this Koch of Safik for good. If you want to be Makariv someone, if you want to take someone who's not yet Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs, and you want to convince them to keep the entirety of the Torah, So it may not be the best technique, says Rav Hanoch Leibowitz, to approach it with Havadei Shmo Kein Tilaso. Because from where they're coming, they're not ready to be Mekabel Vadai. But maybe they're willing to be Mekabel Safik. Says the Chiddush Aleph, where it's underlined, Aleinu Lishdadel Laviyam Lamatav Shal Sveikus Benoeg Chayayam. You know what you could do to that person to help him begin the process of coming close to Torah and Mitzvos? Plant a suffix in his life. Suffix that maybe the most important thing in the world is not making so much money and driving a fancy car. And maybe you want to say that maybe suffix, you're not sure if God exists, so I'll plant a different suffix in your heart. Maybe God does exist. And through that koch of suffix, you can begin to bring that person to do good things. Why don't you do something? Light candles on Friday afternoon. You're going to go out afterwards to a movie with your friends and eat at a non-kosher restaurant. That's fine. But mi suffix, just in case Judaism is true. Maybe light those candles. Maybe recite a blessing on a glass of wine before you go about your regular business on Saturday. And through that koch of safik, afim zed davar kal v'katan, even if it's a small thing, that becomes a psicha to begin a conversation with a person. The same way the Yetzirah tries to get into our life through safik of tumba, safik de sitra achra, we can use safik of kedusha to implant the Yetzer Tov and to awaken the Yetzer Tov within a person. Misofam lavoli de tshuva shalema. And says, we have a bracha, a presentation of ados, a promise from Rav Hanoch Leibowitz. That if we can begin to try to bring people close to Yiddishkeit, misafik, eventually havadei shmo kein tilaso. Over time they'll come to tshuva shlema. They'll be able to buy in completely. And this is the other v'nahafachu that we need to think about when we come to Purim tonight. That when a malek comes and says safik, maybe God shouldn't be taken seriously, we have to say back to him, I also have a suffix. Suffix, maybe God should be taken seriously. When a malik says, suffix if you matter, suffix if Hashem answers your tefillos, suffix if your mitzvahs do anything, so say back to a malik, that suffix has two sides to it. You're presenting the suffix in such a strong way that your suffix is kilu, it's vadai by you. But your language is suffix. And therefore I'm going to look at the other side of the coin. The second side of the suffix. You say maybe Hashem doesn't care. I say Hashem maybe does care. You say tefillah doesn't work. I say maybe tefillah does work. And through that koch of suffix, says the Chiddush Aleph, a person can come to tshuva shlema. I want to share with you a story from the Berditchever, one of the most beautiful stories in the world. The Berditchever one time was approached by a fellow who was a very enlightened Jew, a very learned individual. And this person apparently had been traveling around, taking on different tzaddikim, different talmidei chachamim, to try to prove that whatever it is that they believed in is old-fashioned, and it doesn't make sense, and to challenge any proof that any tzaddik or chacham might have for belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this guy, this individual, this enlightened fellow, decides, I'm going to travel to the Kedushas Levi. I'm going to travel to the Berditchever, and I'm going to debate against him the same way that I debate against everyone else. What happens? He comes to the Berditchever, and he walks into the Kedushas Levi's room. And the Berditchever doesn't even look up at him. He's pacing back and forth, he has a sefer in his hand, he's deep in his learning, and he's going back and forth, and this fellow is standing there with his notebook in his hand of all of his questions and all of his proofs against God, and the Berditchever is just pacing back and forth, and he's got a big smile on his face, and he's being osek in some deep sefer, and he's going back and forth, totally ignoring this visitor. Then suddenly the Berditchever stops. And he looks up, if you can imagine, his glowing eyes. And he looks at this distinguished guest who has come to debate against him. And before the man could say even one word, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, looks at this man and he says to him, but maybe it is true. But perhaps the whole thing is true after all. Before the guy can say anything. And the man, of course, his confidence is thoroughly shaken and broken. And he's trembling before the Berditchever. And the Berditchever says to him again, he says, all the Talmidei Chachamim who debated against you, who spoke to you, they were wasting their words. You know why? Because they can't prove to you, there's nothing that they can say to show you God's kingdom on earth. They can't put it on the table in front of you. That was the lesson the Berditchever used. And he says, I can't do the same thing either. I can't prove to you, bevados, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. But you know what I can say to you? Perhaps it is true. Safek, maybe Hashem does exist. And you're spending your whole life going around trying to disprove him. And this enlightened man was so broken from the suffix, from the shema, from the maybe, from the ulai, from the dilma of the Berditchever, that the poor guy couldn't utter a word. He was shaking from head to toe, and eventually he just fled from the face of that tzaddik. This is the ultimate technique to fight against the malik. Even stronger in some ways than Avadai Shemo. It takes a very big person. It takes a Mordechai at Tzaddik. It takes a Moshe Rabbeinu. It takes a very, very big person to be in a state of Vade all the time. But at the very least, I can be in a state of Safik de Kedusha. I can say to the Yitzhahara that says, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. Maybe nothing is accomplished by my Limud Torah. I can at least say, like the Berditchever, but maybe it does matter. Maybe there is something here. And even though I don't know exactly what it is, I sense Ba'omek Libi, I feel that maybe, just maybe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything that the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that he is. And when a person uses that Safik of Kedusha, again, he can reach the highest of levels, as the Chiddush Eleiv told us. That through that entrance point of Safek, a person can come to Tshuva Shleima, can come eventually to that state of Havadai Shemo Kein Tilasa. It's amazing. Sometimes we look at the Torah, and the Torah itself is in a state of Safek. If you look in Parshas Bishalach, in Source 30, the Pasuk says, Hashem Holech Lefneim Yomam Ba'amud Anon Lanchosam Adach. Hashem often appears in a cloud. Which is strange, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much the realm of Vadai, so why is Hashem always appearing in such a cloudy way? So if you look in Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Tiferes Torah, Parshas Bishalach, he explains very beautifully. He says in Source 31, HaKlal Hu Shehashchina Kadosh Mizgalet Tamid Rak Banan. The way to come to Vadai in one's life is often through a cloud. That light emerges from within darkness. Like the Pasuk says, U'kvod Hashem Nira Be'anan. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in a cloud. V'chein b'binyan Shlomo. It says, Azamar Shlomo Hashem Amar Lishkon Ba'Rafel. Hashem wants to dwell in Arafel. Which the Nesivos Shalom always brings from one of the earlier Slonim Rebbe's. There's Choshech, there's Anan, there's Arafel. It's the deepest darkness of all. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to dwell in Arafel? V'hu mishum shah kavod agadol ne'la meinei kochai. But sometimes the way to find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka. Because Hashem is so big and so hard to grasp, that sometimes the best we can get to get close to Hashem is from a place of suffix. Ukishyesh hasaga gedola, efshar la'asig rak derech maseichim rabim. Sometimes I can't perceive Hashem bevadaos because it's so big. The concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone is so big, let alone HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodo va'atzmo. And therefore at our Sinai, says Rav Pinkus, lachin besinai she'esigu yoser mikol hayenira b'choshech anan v'harafel. That everything was shrouded in darkness. V'chol zem merumas kan b'layla she'asaga hipchusa ad miskala shechina ba'amud eish. At night, when it's particularly dark and the asaga is harder to come by, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself as what? As a pillar of fire. Hainu, eish meir ki'ilu shiram or umevina masho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know it's very dark. But if you look through the darkness, you can see a little something. But by day, when there's a greater clarity, so then Hashem appears in an anan. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always creating this balance for us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Vaday, and He wants to reveal Himself in that way. But we're not able to makabel Him as Vaday. So Hashem allows Himself to present Himself, sometimes shrouded in Suffolk. And then Rav Pinkus says an amazing thing. He says, where it's bolded, Hinei HaTorah Maleah Tzveikos. The Torah is filled with Tzveikos. Shas Atzmo Yesh Teku Harbe. So many times the Gemara's conclusion is, we don't have a clue what the conclusion is. Rashi Lefamin. Rashi at times, and it's many times, more than 70 times, Kosev Ein Yodea Peirusho. I don't know the pshat of a particular pasuk. What does that mean? How could that be that Rashi doesn't know? How could it be that the Gemara doesn't know? How could it be that the Torah Kedosha doesn't know? Uve pashtus machmas rov omka shel Torah gam arze kel lefam einam yodim. Because the Torah is so deep, because the Vada is so absolute, it becomes hard for us limited human beings to wrap our minds around it, and therefore sometimes we're left in a place of I yadia, of an ad lo yada. Aval be'em is kol safik ve'eni yodeya einam bitoy shel I yadia el rab ad rab yadia amuka ma'od. Look what he writes here. Pinkus is saying such a powerful idea. He's saying when a person says safik about the Torah, what's he saying? He's not saying I don't believe. When a person says I don't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that he doesn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's that Hashem is such a great thing that I can't believe it. The truth is, I'm just remembering now. There's a sefer called, what's it called? The Or Nesivos. I can't think of what it's called. Rav Nissim Yagen is the author. I have the sefer, it's on my shelf. I can't think of what it's called right now. But I just remembered, he tells a story in there. He says, when a Jew says, I don't believe, he says, it's like a person traveling on a cruise ship. You're traveling on a boat, and you come to France. And this person has waited his whole life to come to France. And he's looking out at the shores of France, and what does he say? I can't believe that I'm in France. So what do you mean that you can't believe you're in France? It's right before your eyes. What do you mean you can't believe that you're in France? The answer is that when a person is saying, I can't believe I'm in France, what he's really saying is, it's such a big thing, it's such a special thing to me, that it's hard for me to wrap my heart and my mind around it. So says Rav Pinkus, it's the same thing. We look at the Torah. When Rashi says, I don't understand, Rashi is not saying that there's nothing here to understand, that it's vadai nothingness. Rashi is saying it's such a deep vados that I'm left, at best, in a place called Suffolk. And he gives a beautiful mashal to explain it. I'll just share it with you outside. Rav Pinkus says, imagine, two guys are walking on the beach. And one of the guys is walking with one of those, one of those detector things to try to find pennies and quarters that someone dropped on the beach. Okay, so imagine he has a diamond detector. And he's walking on the beach, and all of a sudden the thing starts beeping wildly. And his friend, who doesn't have such a diamond detector, turns to him and says, what is it that you found here? So he says, I don't know. I'm not sure. So his friend laughs at him. He says, I also don't know. So Pinkus says, there's obviously a great difference between these two I don't knows. One I don't know is, I know there's something here, I just don't know exactly what it is yet. The other I don't know is that I don't believe that there's anything here to begin with. And obviously we all understand it's a dumber posture, the difference between those two things. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's so great, sometimes the best way to get close to him is through Suffolk, a Suffolk to Kedusha. That Hashem, I can't fully grasp you. Like the Rishonim said, I can't put the whole world, I can't put a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom on the table in front of you. But I can say, perhaps a Kadosh Baruch Hu is true, perhaps a Kadosh Baruch Hu is real. And this is our second tool in the Zelu Mazeh of Amalek. I could use Vadai to fight the Suffolk of Amalek, but I could also use Suffolk to fight the Suffolk of Amalek. Amalek comes to a person and says, I don't think Mashiach is ever going to come. I don't believe that Mashiach is ever going to come. So what do we say back to Amalek? You say Suffolk, Mashiach is never going to come. So I'll say also a Suffolk. I'll say Suffolk, maybe if Mashiach is going to come today. Rav Palm in the 1980s spoke at the Gudas Yisrael convention. I think it was 1984. And it's printed in the Sefer called Moritz Tzedek, which they put out a few years ago, the Drashos of Rav Palm. And in Source 32, Rav Palm quotes the following from the Chafetz Chaim. Gam ha'avodah shel ha'Chafetz Chaim l'limud seder kachim v'akibot l'limud kachim sh'sider ha'kol u'mishum meheru yibanam yisem mikdash. The Chafetz Chaim, who encouraged people to learn kachim, was very much rooted in that world of absolute belief that Mashiach is coming any second. V'akohanim tzrichim leidas avodah v'tzrichim l'hachin es atzim l'avodah. And people need to know, kohanim befrat, need to know how to do the avodah. Harei ha'Rav Schwab hizkir kan mikodem. Rav Schwab, I guess, was a speaker before of Pam. So Rav Schwab got up and said earlier, in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, Sha'amar Shebechol Yom Vayom Hu Suffolk Shakul, that every day of our life we have to say Mashiach is a Suffolk, not in a Malik Dika Suffolk that I'm not sure if Mashiach is ever going to come, but we say a Suffolk Shakul. We say what? We say maybe Yah, maybe Nine, Im Kain, Im Lav, maybe yes, maybe no. Right? He says in Yiddish, Tzu Yah, Tzu Nine, maybe yes, maybe no. Sheyavo Mashiach. But the Chofetz Chaim said every day at least there's a suffix of a possibility that Mashiach might come. Im came srichen l'skonin l'zeh. And we need to be prepared to mekabel that tzad of the suffix. That's how we fight against the Malik. We use a suffix of holiness to battle against the Malik. And now I want to come to the final point. And that's another comment from Rav Palm in Source 34. How does a person approach a suffix in such a positive way? How does a person come to look at Suffolk, which can be so damaging and so negative, to the point that we learned earlier that Eliyahu said, better to worship Baal than to be in that realm of Suffolk. How do I use Suffolk of Kedusha? How can I make sure that my Suffolk will actually be used in the proper way? So Rav Palm writes in the Zatar al-Melech, in the piece called Yeyeshu Bitachon, on page 131, in Source 34, he brings a very important yesod. And it's the yesod that's grounded in halacha. In Bava Basra, Kufman Beis, the Gemara says, Amr Abi Yitzchak, Amr Abi Yochanan. Hamazak el Ubar lo kana. If a person tries to transfer something, transfer ownership of something to an Ubar, to an unborn baby, the child cannot receive it. Okay, but then the Gemara goes on and says, but sometimes it does work. So the Gemara responds, if a person is doing it to his own son, then it actually does work. Explains the Rashbam, in the second line, Lu'ubar shalo, gomar umakna b'chol libo. If I'm transferring something to an unborn child, that's not my own child, so I'm not confident that the child has the ability to receive. We'll see why in a second. But if it's my own child, aval lu'ubar acher lo kana. If it's my own child, he gives it over, it's gomar umakna b'chol libo. If it's someone else's child, he's not giving the object that he wants to transfer wholeheartedly. Why is that so? So Rav Palm says, B'shem Chacham Echad, and the following explanation. When it comes to an Uber, when it comes to an unborn baby, and Rabosai, I had this chus yesterday of watching a child come into this world, I can tell you, it's a pachad. As much as Baruch Hashem, we have, you know, modern medicine, and it's not like the olden days where Rahman al-Islam, so many women died from childbirth. But it's a scarier thing as anything that a person has to go through. There's many sveikos, Rahman al-Islam, that a person thinks when a child is yet to be born. And you just want the child to be healthy and to be fine and to be able to come out from the mother's womb and open its mouth for the first time and be able to breathe. When it comes to an ubar, says Rav Palm, where it's bolded, Yesh kama sveikos v'chashoshos. There are many sveikos that a person has. Im yetzei la'avir olam b'chlal. Is this child ever going to be born? Rahman al-Islam, sometimes a child doesn't make it through the full term. And even if the child is going to be born, yesh safek im yeh bar nash normali. I'm nervous that this child should be normal, should be healthy. Im yeh bar kayama. How do I know the child is going to live out of its infancy? There's so many concerns when it comes to an unborn child. Ulefichach, lo gawar b'daito lahaknos l'davar shalo bala olam. And therefore, when it comes to transferring an object to an unborn child, you're not sure that the child exists. And that holds a person back from making the transfer completely. But when it comes to one's own child, Amnam Shani Uber Diday, when it comes to one's own child, Demirov Ava Sa'av Lebano, Einhu Maila Aldaito Shum Chash Sakon of Enezek. When it comes to one's own child, a person believes Bivados. He loves the child so much that he wants to believe wholeheartedly and will do anything in his mind to convince himself that my child is going to be healthy and my child is going to be normal and my child is going to make it and he's going to be great. And that confidence, that vados about one's child, which comes from a place of ava, allows a person to transfer an object to that unborn child. The child is vadai. It's as if he exists already. He's a bar kayama. He's bar yivachazak. And he has a beautiful future ahead of him. What we're seeing from Rapam is that when it comes to love, love has the ability to conquer a suffix. That love can take a suffix and bring it into a place of vadai. And with this we can conclude, with this we can understand why it is, on Purim Dafka, we have a unique ability to overcome a malik. The Gemara says in Source 35, V'yisyatu v'tach t'sahar, Kadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain overhead. The first time we received the Torah, even though we said Nasa v'nishma, we were forced into it. It says the Gemara, Afal pichin hadr kiblu abimei Achashverosh. But when it came to the times of Achashverosh, we re-accepted the Torah. And Rashi famously comments in Source 36, Me'ava saneis shenasalehem. We had the ability to re-accept the Torah from a place of Ava. But using Rav Palm's Yesod, we understand much deeper now. The Ava that the Jewish people felt at the time of Purim helped them to defeat the suffix of a Malik. Because like Rav Palm said, when the person feels a certain Ava towards something, he's able to overcome any suffix in the world. Even the scariest suffix of an unborn child becomes nothing to him. Because he believes wholeheartedly that Ava that he feels for that future that he's hoping for turns that suffix into a Vadai. And therefore we know the famous Maimar Chazal. It's based on a comment that the Metzudos David makes in his commentary on Mishlei, Ki ein ba'olam simcha, katar sasveikos. It's a statement that the Ramah brings as well in one of his farm, that there's no greater joy in the world than answering up a suffix. So when it comes to Purim, and we answer up the ultimate suffix, when we try to respond to a Malik once and for all, either by saying, Havadei shemo kenti laso, that I'm not going to descend into a realm of suffix because I have a position of Vadai, or we respond Zelu Mazeh by saying, you say suffix negative, I say suffix positive. You say suffix no Mashiach, I say suffix, like the Chafetz Chaim said, yes Mashiach. When a person overcomes the suffix of a Malik, he enters into an olam of simcha. Because there's no greater simcha in the world than resolving a suffix. And we conclude with the words of the Munkacher in the final source, and I thank you guys so much for your time. The Shari Yisaschar, in the Munkacher's writings on Purim, he says, Yimei HaPurim Nikru Yimei Simcha. The days of Purim are days of great joy. And he quotes from the Rambam, although I don't know that the Rambam actually was the one who created this Maimar Chazal, She'ein Simcha K'Simcha Sataras HaSveikos. There's no greater Simcha than the Simcha of resolving a suffix. V'Yinei Yadua, we know from the Sohar HaKadoshim that a Malik is the one who's Meitil Sveikos. Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu Amayin. V'Yavo Amalik, Hanacha Shishiyani, like we saw earlier this week from B'nai HaSasar, Yesh and Ayin. V'Yinei B'Purim Shuzman, Mechiyas Amalik. And on Purim, tonight, we have the ability to get rid of all of the Sveikos in our lives. And to destroy a Malik, and we have the ability to say Havadei Shemo, or to say at least a suffix of Kedusha back to a Malik, through that destruction of Amalek, in simcha katarsis vekos, that creates the simcha that we all feel on the day of Purim. Al kena simcha gedola oz v'yoser ki ein simcha kesimcha satarsis vekos kan Yisrael le'al, as we mentioned above. So Amir Tzashem, in a few hours from now, we'll have the schus to hear Kriyas Megillah. The Kriyas Megillah that we learned from the Chassam Sofer is the loftiest book that we own. It's the greatest thing that we're going to take with us to Mashiach. It should give us the confidence to turn around to all of the Amaleks of the world. The same Amalek that the Avnei Nezer told us wanted to stop Kabbalah Satorah itself with its cynicism. The same Amalek that brought Misa to the world through the Nachash HaKadmoni. The same Amalek that nearly destroyed Klal Yisrael in the Purim story. To turn around to Amalek and say, Avadai Shmo Kein Tilaso, I'm wide awake. I'm not going to descend into a place of Shena like Haman claims. And I'm not going to allow Amalek to create Sveikos with a sense of Ados. I'm at the very least going to say back to him, Safik, from a place of Ahava. And that Ahava has the ability to conquer all Sveikos. So Amir Tzashem, we should all be Zocha to enjoy Purim in such a deep way. Ein Simcha Katar Sveikos. There's no greater joy in the world than resolving a Safik. And Amir Tzashem, to the degree that tonight we're able to Mekabel that Vados in our lives, we'll each, in our own way, be zochet to makabel the Yom Tov, to feel the simcha of Purim, and with this, to turn back all of the negativity of Amalek, and to bring the Gula Shleima b'mheira b'yameinu Avi.